And after one of the thunderstorms one evening in the summer, they went out to play and came back in, and my one brother was just hysterical. He was holding a pack of wet matches. And one of his other little friends had told him that since those matches had been out in that thunderstorm and got hit by lightning, which isn't really true, that if you touched them, you would die. So my brother came in, and he's all upset, and then so my dad starts in on him. And he's, you know, like I said, really a gruff old guy. And he grabs those matches and starts rubbing them all over his hands, and he says, see, nothing's happening, nothing happens. Well, it wasn't 2 hours later, and my dad was in his 30s.
Oh, no.
That he keeled over with a massive heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that weird? And, you know, I don't understand it, but it's something that has always been with me. And I thought my brothers would have some, like, psychological problems that maybe they caused this or something.
Who would blame
it? Remember it. I think I'm the only one that just remembers just how horrifying that was.
They sheltered themselves. I've never heard of this before with these matches, but, I mean, what are the odds of that happening?
That is really queer, especially when you consider he was a young man.
Yes.
Oh, in his 30s.
And you would assume in pretty good shape.
In very good shape, you know, military, and it wasn't, like I say, 2 hours, and it was just a terrible, terrible heart attack.
How tragic.
So, yeah, kind of interesting story.
Stay away from those wet matches.
Absolutely. I use a lighter.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. That is something. East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. My name's Tyler from Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Tyler.
Wow, it's about time I got through. This is a great show, man. A few years
Thank
to listen
you.
To it, and I love every minute of it.
Well, you know what makes it great? People like you who call in with stories, and, you know, it's just real-life episodes.
Exactly.
And that's what makes the show.
Definitely. It's one of a kind. Well, I got a little story for you about a Ouija board.
Now, you would do this to me, wouldn't you? A Ouija board.
Well, I heard your things. I know you won't talk about it, but this didn't actually happen to me per se.
Okay.
But I was kind of a witness to it. Well, my brother was into it a few years ago before he died. He died in 98. And he was into it. We had a suicide in the house before we moved in, so my mother didn't want him using it. And he was 21 at the time. I was 18. I'm 24 now. And she was really skeptical about it. She threw it in the fireplace. And I was right there to watch it. Right when she threw it in, it went right up in flames. It was unbelievable.
It crackles and colors come off it and everything else.
It was unbelievable. Yeah, I guess the ink in it made even colors come out. So
or the spirits do.
Could be. Exactly. I'm very, I guess you could say, spiritual. I have my own, like, religion thing. Well, anyways, I went in the other room, and my mother went in the room where the fireplace was to check on it. And I'm sitting there, I'm eating my SpaghettiOs. And she came back in, and she got on the phone real quick to call my father. And she's like, it's gone. It's gone. And I didn't know what she was talking about, but I put two and two together when she hung up. I went in the other room, and I'm staring at the fireplace, and I didn't see anything in there. Well, the next day, my dad was going to work. We have a field right by my house. And he brought back a Ouija board that was unburned.
Oh, no.
Unburned.
And there it was. Did you guys use it? Did you use it?
No. My mom got rid of it after that. She threw it away in the garbage. And
my producers have been wanting me to do a show with a Ouija board live.
Definitely.
You think I should?
Yes.
I've been fighting it.
Oh, you should, George.
They want me to bring it in on a Friday, just turn it on, and over the course. Now, this would have to happen when I'm in Los Angeles because I've got a whole staff there as opposed to when I'm in St. Louis in the cave here all by my lonesome. But they want everybody to be able to be there, touch the planchette, and let this thing do what it does for the program. And I've been fighting it. Maybe it's time to take a little poll. I hate Ouija boards.
Absolutely. I'm afraid of it. I'm even afraid of what you're talking about, but I'd love to listen.
I've had bad experiences with it in St. Louis once when I was doing one of my shows.
I had
the Ouija board in the studio. Everything went wrong. We never had technical problems. Computers were going. The board was going. Everything went wrong. I told my producer, his name was Howard Morton. I said, Howard, you get this thing out of there right now. He took it out, put it on somebody's desk. Listen to this great story. The moment he took it out of the studio, things came back on. and they're working and things. He puts the Ouija board on a news guy's desk and forgets about it. The news guy comes in the morning because we're on in the wee hours. He sees this Ouija board and go, hey, what is, maybe somebody gave me a gift. You know, it was not uncommon for people to put books from guests and things on people's desks, and they would just take them home. So he sees this Ouija board, takes it home. 2 days later, he comes back. He's as white as a ghost. And we go up to him, we go, and we assume he took the Ouija board.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm bringing back this Ouija board. It was the worst experience of my life. He got into a car accident. Like when he left, it was just everything went wrong. And this thing, I guess, I don't know what happened to it, because I think someone else took it and we tried to warn everybody, don't take it. And they took it away. And who knows what's going on with it.
Wow.
I don't like them. But you want me to have one of these things in the studio and to do it. Oh, my God.
Thank you, George, for telling me that story. I appreciate it. I feel honored.
Okay, you take care.
You too, George.
Bye. Well, let's do a fast. I'm not going to say I'm going to do this, but I am interested in seeing what you say. So those of you who want to fast blast me on whether we should or should not have a Ouija board in our Coast to Coast AM studios during one of our Friday night shows, let me know. Now, this is not one of those polls. It's not a referendum. Your decision is not going to convince me one way or another, because I'm not sure. I am that opposed to these things. Nonetheless, I am curious to see what most of you will say. Actually, I'm hoping most of you will say don't do it, but let's see what you have to say. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, it's me, Tim in L.A.
Hey, Tim, welcome.
Thank you very much. Well, first of all,
I'll be out there soon enough, by the way.
See me? Oh, yeah, okay, cool.
I'll be out there soon.
Great. And first of all, no Ouija board, please. That's one vulnerable for me.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure. But the reason why I'm calling is because you know that people were displaced after Hurricane Katrina, correct?
Yes.
Well, my question is these same people can't vote if they move out of the state, right?
They are registered to the state in their locale where they lived. So they would have to, I guess, change their residency in order to vote. But I do believe they can vote absentee, right?
I don't know.
I think they could. I think they can do that.
Well, because when you vote absentee, it goes to your house. But if they're out of state.
Well, it depends on what they're going to do with their mail and everything else. What a pain in the neck, though, for people who still have to pay their bills and things.
Almost, exactly.
And they don't have jobs.
Actually, what I plan to do then is, out here they have like a refuge center, and what I plan to do is go out and, you know, register people to vote when they find homes and everything.
Yeah, good for you.
Because I want people to vote, because the elitists are not going to win, and this station, Coast to Coast, will succeed, and we will succeed, George.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Thanks for the phone call. East of the Rockies, you're up. Hi there.
Yes, hello?
Yes, sir. Sounds like you're tooling around somewhere.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm a trucker over here in Maryland right now.
There you are.
I want to tell you about an incident that happened to me back in 1985.
Okay, go ahead.
As a matter of fact, it was Friday the 13th, October 1985. I was 19 years old, stationed out there. There was supposed to be a meteor shower at Joshua Tree National Monument out there, and I went out to see the meteor shower. Long and short of it is, I was walking down a path. There was no one around. It was a little graveled pathway. And to my left, there was a shrub line. And I kept hearing something walking that shrub line. About 800 yards down along the path, there was a switchback that turned back to the left and started up this large hill where most people would go out there, amateur astronomers, you know, with their telescopes and
right.
Everything that would take and watch the stars at night. Well, there was a dip in the pathway, and as you started down this little small hill, the air temperature completely changed. It dropped about 5 to 10 degrees.
And you could feel it, right?
Yeah, it was a real sudden change. And from there, I kept hearing something walking in that shrub line, and it wasn't like a four-legged animal. Because you can usually tell like when a dog or something's walking along the
side. Yeah, you can hear that. That's true.
This was two-legged. And when I got down to where the switchback was, I kept hearing it was like right to my left, and I stopped and I looked into the bushes. And when I looked into the bushes, I was just overcome with the most intense fear, because there was this like just a glowing set of bright red eyes, or like humanoid eyes.
And how tall was this? How tall was the creature?
I couldn't see a creature. It was like in the bush. I could see the eyes, and they blinked. And then the only thing that I know of that happened from there, I thought it might be a cat, a bobcat, or something like that. But it let out the most blood-curdling, chilling scream, as if the soul was being torn out of something.
Do you think it was Bigfoot?
No, it was about eye level with me.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was a chupacabra. Who knows what kind of creature it could have been. Hey, thanks. Back for final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, these fast blasts overwhelming. People don't want me. You don't want me to have a Ouija board in the studio. There are a few yeses, but I mean, it is absolutely overwhelming. If this were some kind of a election, the person who got these votes would be very, very happy. Here's one. JT says, Ouija boards are dangerous. Why invite trouble? Another, the Ouija board can open up to very bad things, but it is intriguing, George. Go for the show. Another one says, no, 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 it'll destroy the airwaves. No Ouija board, please. You bet, George, use a Ouija board. Here's another one. George, don't bring a Ouija board in your studio. Here's another. Yes, yes, I think you should have it on a Friday night. It's perfect for Friday. Syllabus says, out of Anaheim, California, you might trigger a wave of interest among the young. Ouija boards are not fun. And it just goes on and on and on. George, don't do it. Don't do it at all, unless you want to bring in a Ouija board expert, if there is such a thing. Back to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, George, you said wild card. I didn't call in on the wild card.
That's okay. That's where it knocked you over to, but that's okay.
You know, George, it's almost like deja vu on the Ouija board thing there. Seems like I heard you kind of talking about that in the past there.
I did about 4 years ago, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's like word for word almost on some of the things, it seems like. So I was just curious. I mean, how do you feel about it?
I don't want it. I have had horrible luck with it. And I'd prefer not to do it. I'm glad most of the people do not want it in here. I don't know what I would do if they all said, yeah, do it. It'll be a great show. I mean, there's something with these things.
Yeah, you know, I think I'd go with you on that. I actually would. I don't know that much about them. I've heard a lot about them. But I think I would reconsider it also, George.
Absolutely.
George.
Yeah.
I'm just going to try to make a quick little suggestion here. You know, from time to time, you have some... I'd say really interesting guest that comes on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, he's talking about having special nights. You've heard of those things like what do they refer to them as? Whatever happened to, I think that's what they call them.
Yeah.
I just wonder if it'd be possible, if some of these guests could be called in on a certain night and just, see if they would respond and call in and get a little thing going with that.
That's not a bad idea.
As a
matter of fact, I'm taking a piece of your idea next Thursday, and I'm bringing in three or four guests, well-known coast-to-coast guests, not to do a roundtable discussion. They're coming in by themselves, and we're just going to do quick interviews with them because I just want to do something different, and we're going to do that. That'll be next Thursday. So three or four well-known coast-to-coast guests, they'll pop in and pop out, but I think we'll have some fun on that day. Let's go back to the calls west of the Rockies. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, hi. Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Jeremy from Portland.
Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. Hey, one quick thing on the Oscar.
Yeah.
I just think that some guy just trying to, or not guy, but somebody just trying to get some entertainment going.
I don't know if it's that Rachel who is playing Oscar or if it's Oscar playing Rachel. I don't think he's real, but I do think he's got a problem because this guy is mired in evil.
Yeah, because, hi, George, I can do that too, you know?
You sound almost just like him. You scared the heck out of me when you did that. That was almost more chilling than the real Oscar.
See, that's why I'm thinking somebody's just trying to call in for entertainment because, you know, I can do lots of different voices and whatnot.
Do that again.
Hi, George. I'm so evil.
Are you sure you're not the real Oscar?
Oh, totally. No, I'm pretty level-headed.
All right, dude. You know how he does that, like that little growl at the end? He goes like, yeah, okay. You sound just like him. Tommy, I think we got a doppelganger, Oscar. Let's go to our first-time caller line. We're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. There he is. Where are you?
Hi. I'm in between Joplin and Memphis.
And what are you hauling? You want to tell us?
Sure. I'm hauling soap detergent. I just had to think. I was like, I was there for so long, I couldn't remember.
Where does this soap detergent go? To a store?
Yeah, it's going to Dillard's warehouse over there in Goddard, Kansas.
All right. Well, you drive carefully. What's on your mind?
Okay. When I was a kid, I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and I had a bed, and at the end of the bed was a mirror on my dresser. Well, the mirror used to do like it turned to water, and I could see people coming out of it. They were kind of like the shadow people.
What kind of people? Were they like older people from like years gone back?
No, it was that they really didn't have much of a definition when I was a kid. I could just tell there was like an outline of people, and then they'd right. always go into my closet. So I quit sleeping with mirrors in my room. And then when my parents, we moved into Vernonia, Oregon, we had a mobile home. Well, I didn't have any mirrors in my bedroom, but I left my bathroom door one time, and I opened my eyes, and I saw somebody come out of my bathroom mirror, walk around, stand in my bed, look at me, and walk into my closet. So to this day, I can't have any closet doors open or any mirrors in my bedroom, and I'm 40 now.
I love it. Well, you keep listening to this show, you'll find that you will not use mirrors, you will not play with Ouija boards, you will not be able to sleep in bed because of sleep paralysis, you won't be able to open up your closet, you can't put your arm over the edge of your bed for fear that there's something underneath it that will grab you, you won't like clowns, and you'll be afraid of spiders. Let's go to our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Oh, hi, George. I love your show. This is Jan and Silmar.
Hi.
I want you to have call-in Ouija board stories so people can realize how dangerous they are.
That's not a bad idea. That might be safer.
In the studio, yeah.
I don't think I will.
No, but have call-in stories.
At least my producers give me the veto power of the last right here.
Yeah, and if you have people call in with their stories, people will realize how dangerous the Ouija boards are.
They are indeed.
Yeah, they are.
Have you ever played with them and realized that there was a problem?
No, but they're a gateway to the occult world and demons.
I think you're right. It opens up a door. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. It's a key.
Yeah, and there's no reason to fool around with stuff like that.
You don't want to do that. And Coast to Coast comes back with final calls in a moment. Don't go away. And don't forget, Saturday it'll be Ian Punnett. Art will be on Sunday with the Ghost Investigators Society. And they will have some new sounds of the voice of the dead caught on tape. So make sure you're part of that. And then I'll be back with you on Monday. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Deborah calling.
Hi, Deborah.
I wanted to call about, you know, a certain event that happened in your life, let's say.
In mine or yours?
In mine.
Oh,
in
okay.
my life. you know, I've always been able to pretty much pick up things. Like, I'll have dreams and they happen, or something will just say to me, hey, don't do that right now, you know, and it'll keep me from getting really hurt, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my mother was tragically ill. She was dying. So I left Alaska, where I live, and I went down there to take, you know, care of her. And as I tried to walk in the door of the trailer, I could feel something like trying to push on me, you know. But so I got there, I got in, and I went to the back bedroom, and I turned on the lights. And I, all four of them pop, 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 pop off, you know. So in about an hour, my sister was in there, and I said, you know, there are really funky little light bulbs, and I was wondering, you know, how I'm going to get four more of those. So I told her, thanks for changing those lights. And she goes, what are you talking about? You know, they're fine. I haven't touched them. And so I'm like, okay, all right. And so as I stayed there, you know, weird things would happen. Like I went in the bedroom one time and I was thinking, should I turn on the light? No, I'll just grab these clothes and run. And it was one of those lights that you have to touch in order for it to come on.
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
And it was,
sure,
you know, way across a giant bed. And it came on, you know. And so the same thing was happening to, like, they had a bunch of fans. It's real hot down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing with fans. I'd turn one, you know, there wasn't anybody else in the house. These fans are going, and they're, like, at a empty wall. They shouldn't be on, you know. They're not doing any good. Turn them on. Come right back out in a minute, and they're on. But the bedroom that I was sleeping in, whenever I'd walk in there, you know, the copy machine would turn on. And I personally have a little one, but I've never hooked it up. But I've seen that they just come out, you know, into a little slot. Well, these papers were flying all over the room and on the bed and whatnot. And this happened to me like probably 8 or 10 times. And I wasn't really scared then. You know, I was for, like, I didn't sleep for about 5 days when I first got there because I really could feel something. You know, my mother asked me, she goes, Deborah, you know there's something in here too, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And she goes, that's why you're not sleeping, right? And I'm like, yeah. And she said that, you know, her husband had died 3 years earlier and that somebody would come and sit on the bed by her and that she didn't know who it was. And my daughter came and from Hawaii, and she slept in the master bedroom where the light activity I just spoke of happened. And she said she saw all these evil faces, but she knew she was stuck there for a month, you know, so they just had to stay there. And I assume that's where my stepfather died. Anyway, my mother had made me promise that I would make my sister do half the will right. And she wouldn't do it, and it was a big hassle. So I had my acupuncturist turn me on to a psychic lady. So I went in and talked to her, and, you know, I had a screwed-up foot, which ended up broken. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she took me to a place for healing, you know, in a blue plane, and she really did. But, you know, I was asking her questions. And then at the end I said, hey, by the way, who was turning on those lights, and what about that copy machine in the bedroom, you know? Who did that? And she goes, that was you, you know? And I'm like, how could that be me, you know? And she said, you have